Good morning. Certainly good to see everyone here this morning. Our crowd is up this morning. It's good to be able to worship God with Christians from all over the place. Some people we've never known before and other people we've known for many long time. And it's great joy to gather together as God's people and to worship our God and Creator. This morning I'd like us to think back. Some of us we may have to think back quite a ways. Others it may not be so long ago. That we were in a classroom at school. And we were being frustrated because we just weren't getting what the teacher was trying to teach us. The teacher was doing her best to explain it to us, but it just wasn't sinking in. And we're frustrated and we're thinking, what a waste of time. I'm never going to use this in real life, whatever she was teaching. Why do I have to learn this? This is not going to be relevant to my life. Now, we may be thinking, some of us boys have been thinking, well, I'm going to be a professional sports player. Maybe I'm going to be a professional baseball player. Why do I need to learn geography? All I need to know is how to hit a ball and how to catch a ball. Geography is going to be irrelevant in my life. And if we did make it, we would be thinking that until maybe we leave our home in sunny California at 82 degrees. And you fly to Boston in late October for a baseball game. And all you've taken was shorts and a t-shirt. It's 82 degrees in California. I'll take shorts and t-shirts. It's going to be the same in Boston. You wish you would have listened a little more in your geography class. Learned about various temperatures in various places during the year. Or you may, some of the girls may be thinking, well, I'm going to be a homemaker. Why do I need this math? It's going to be a waste of my time until you start making recipes, maybe having to double or triple, sometimes even have to cut them in half. And you wish you would have paid a little more attention in math class, especially when it came to multiplying, dividing fractions. You weren't too concerned about it until the dishes that you've been slaving over all day long in the kitchen turn out to be mere garbage, things even the dog won't eat. But you thought math wouldn't have been isn't relevant in your life. Who needs this stuff in daily life? I don't see how this is going to be important in my life. And so they discard it. They pay no attention to it or try to just get by until something happens where they wish they would have paid more attention in school. Sadly to say, many people say the same thing about the Bible. How can something written so long ago help me today? How can this book help me in my life thousands of years later? It's talking about people that lived thousands of years before time in a place so distant to where I live, in society so different than what we live in today. They didn't even have cell phones or iPods. How can this book help me today? It's sad to say. I saw a survey of people, that church-going people that are regularly at services, wherever it may be. It didn't, not necessarily a Church of Christ, but religious people who were at faithfully serving or faithfully attending the services where they were members. We're not talking about just people that show up once in a while, but they surveyed people that go to church every time, every Sunday. And this survey, they asked him, how much has the Bible influenced your life? 50% of regular church-going people said it hasn't affected my life at all. 50% said the Bible hasn't affected my life at all. So what they were saying is, it doesn't matter whether I go to church on Sunday or whether I go to a grocery store on Sunday, I'm still going to live the same type of life. That's sad. They don't see the relevancy of the Bible, hence the glasses here. They're not seeing the relevancy of the Bible in their lives. Not only do I believe the Bible is relevant, is important in our lives, but it's important every day in our lives. There can't be a day goes by when the Word of God should not be important in our lives. But people say it won't do them any good. The Bible doesn't do them any good. Well, it won't. They're right. If they don't study it and if they don't apply it, it won't do them any good. But if we'll take the time and the effort to study and to apply it, it will make a big impact in our lives, and not only our lives, but impact the people that we're associated with and their lives as well. But if you have the attitude, it won't do me any good. You're going to be just like that baseball player that's freezing over in Boston in October. Or the young woman whose garbage can is full of her garbage, her recipes that she tried to make but couldn't accomplish. They said, what a waste of time. If this is your attitude today, I hope you'll consider the things that I have to say this morning. Check them out for yourselves and see by following the principles of the Bible that I'll show this morning if our lives will not be impacted. And not just on a hit and miss basis, but every day of our lives will be impacted by the Word of God. Please give me a few moments this morning to show you what I mean. I'd like to illustrate by using simply three passages of Scripture. That's all we're going to look at this morning. I have some others to help go with that, but we're going to look at three major passages of Scripture. Just listen for a few minutes and see if what I have to say isn't true. That the Bible can make a difference in their lives and should make a difference in our lives every single day. No matter who we are, who we want to be, or who we think we are, we need the Bible in our lives every day of our lives. First scripture I'd like to look at this morning is Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens to counsel is wise. The person who doesn't need advice, he knows it all. You try to warn him about some things, I wouldn't know if I'd do that if I were you, but they do it anyway, and disaster strikes. I know what I'm doing, so just be quiet is the type of attitude that they have. They know everything there is to know about everything, so they think. The Bible says this person is a fool. Now, if you don't care what others think about you, that they laugh about the stupid mistakes you do, but you don't care, you're going to do it anyway, then the Bible can't help you. It calls you a fool. So do your friends, your family. Oh, and you may end up on America's Funniest Home Videos sometime for the dumb things that you do. But all throughout our lives, we'll be known as an idiot. Did you see what he did last week? He'll never learn. And they laugh. We are a joke. Is this the way we want our lives to be? To be known as a fool? The Bible here is trying to tell us that there is a better way. If we'll but listen to the advice of others, we have a choice. And we're going to make decisions every single day. We're going to make choices every single day in our lives. Some are trivial as to maybe what clothes we're going to wear or what food we're going to eat. But some decisions we'll make will be important. They will impact our lives. And I ask us, how will we answer those? What choices will we make? When we're offered drugs or pills at school, everyone's doing it. Come on. Will you listen to advice? That little thing in the back of your head that mom and dad always taught me, stay away from these things. When they offer them to you, run away. Don't take it. Will we listen to that? Or, as the fool would say, I know all about this. One time is not going to hurt me. I know all about it. It's not going to harm me. I know. And you don't listen to them. And you get hooked. You thought it won't happen to me. But it does. The Bible tries to warn us about things like this, but will we listen? What important decision will we make tomorrow in our lives? Will we seek anyone's advice? Or will we act like the fool and say, I know everything, and just go on? Our children and grandchildren are being taught in the public schools to be your own person. You make your own decisions that affect your life. Don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to older people. They don't understand you or the situation that you're in. They're old-fashioned. They don't understand. They have no idea what your life is about, so they say. They're so disconnected, so old-fashioned. You make your own decision. It's your life, they're telling them. Stand up for yourselves. And so they refuse the advice of others. And they make a mess of their lives. The Bible says, don't listen to them. Listen instead to wise counsel. But what about the businessman or woman who's bored with their present job? They're going nowhere. They want something different. They want something exciting. And a job offer comes along. Oh, it's going to be long hours. Going to be lots of travel time away from home and family. But the money is good. There's lots of opportunities for me to grow with this company. Here's a chance for me to be somebody. It's decision time. What will we do? People will try to warn us. A job like this will ruin your family. It will ruin your marriage. And it will ruin your spiritual life. It's not what it seems to be. But will we listen? Will we weigh all the options before making the decision? Talk to others maybe in the same position. Get their advice. What is this really like? Oh, but we're talking about the fool. The fool says, I know what I'm doing. I know all about this. This is going to be good for my career. The money is going to be good. And that's all they think about. The Bible says you're a fool. Almost 100 times in just 3 books of the Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, 86 times, it talks about the fool, what they look like and how to avoid becoming one. But will we listen? Do you remember in 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, had a son. You think his son would have learned from him, from what his father was like? In 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon's son Rehoboam. His father just died. Now he has the throne. How is he going to rule? What decision, important decision, is he going to make from the very onset? Listen to what he said. Listen to what the scriptures say. 1 Kings chapter 12, let's begin in verse 1. He says, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were to come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart for yet 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then will they be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and that stood before him. And they said unto him in verse 9, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke of thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it thou lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And verse 11, and now whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Here was an important decision that Rehoboam had to make in his life. Oh, he sought counsel. He even sought counsel of wise men. But did he take it? No. He threw it aside. Instead, took counsel of men just like him. When it comes to making important decisions in our lives, will we seek the advice of others? Others that are wiser and more knowledgeable than us? People who really care about us, that want us to succeed, to want us to have a good and happy, fulfilling life? Or will we ignore it all because we feel we know it all? I don't need anyone's advice. This is my life. Still think we don't need the Bible in our lives? That it's not relevant to my life? Just think the next time we have a decision to make, will we be wise or will we be foolish? Let's look at the next verse. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Careless words, words said without thinking, the Bible says pierced like a stab wound with a sword. Words said in anger, words meant to hurt, but not realizing the pain and the hurt and the devastation that they cause. How deep our words can cut. Have you ever said something to a friend or a family member, or maybe even a spouse? Maybe in the heat of an argument, words are flying, tempers are flaring, and they just freeze. Not another word is said. Your words have cut and pierced so deep, the pain so bad that they're speechless. All you notice now are the tears that begin to flow down their face. Nothing more is said. It doesn't have to. The damage has been done. A mere "I'm sorry" does nothing for the hurt. The wound is too deep. This relationship will never be the same simply by the words that we have spoken. Whether we meant it or not, whether we said it in just the heat of an argument, whether we meant it or not, this can have a devastating effect on our relationships. And it usually happens to someone that we care about the most. The best friend, the spouse, the child. Words that we can never take back. Try as we might to soften the blow, the damage has been done. The Bible tries to warn us about this. It says, our words can pierce like a sword. Why does Solomon tell us this? Why does he say it in these words? Because he wants to warn us about our speech. Tell us how powerful it is, and to be careful how we use it. Notice in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, Solomon says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words that we say every day are powerful, he tells us. And when we fool around with powerful things, when we handle them carelessly, disaster strikes. Take, for example, a young teenager goofing off while driving a car. A car is a very powerful thing. It's thousands of pounds of steel. And they're goofing around with their friends, not paying attention to the road that's in front of them. And someone is killed because they thought they would stop at a stop sign. That's what all cars do. But the person didn't notice. He was too busy with his friends goofing off. He didn't handle that powerful thing with care. Or the person playing with a gun. Oh, a gun is such a small thing, just little pistols, but yet so powerful they are. Maybe they're imitating a scene in a movie that they saw, and they're just whipping it around and pointing at everybody, and it carelessly goes off. And their friend, their brother or their sister is killed. Powerful things need to be handled with care. And Solomon says the tongue is a powerful thing. It has the power of life and death, he says, the power to destroy and the power to heal. I ask us this morning, how will we use our tongue? It doesn't matter if we're 12, 16, 30, 60, or 80. Our tongues all have the same potential. Older people are just as susceptible to using words that hurt and cut as a young person does. Have you ever heard a parent tell a child, "You will never amount to anything"? Do you know how hard, how much that hurts and how much that cuts? Solomon says, be careful what we say. Our words can cut like a sword. Good friendships, marriages, and relationships can be lost forever because of a slip of the tongue. Do you remember what James said in James chapter 3 as he talked about our tongue? The book of James has a lot to talk about, to say about our tongues. But I'd like to focus on James, the third chapter, this morning for just a few minutes. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. What does he have to say about our tongues? James chapter 3, and that's those in verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the image and the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He tries to warn us about the power of the tongue and the carelessness when we use it to destroy. He says it will stab like a sword. We will say things that we can never take back. And again, the relationships will never be the same. Instead of saying hurtful things with our tongue, Solomon says they can be good, used for good as well. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23, he says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Instead of using our tongues to destroy and to devastate, let us use them for good. Use it, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. When a friend is hurting, when a friend is discouraged, a few words of encouragement go a long way. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, he says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. They are precious. They're valuable. Not only can our words be dangerous, but they can be pleasing as well. They can help to heal an aching soul. Do you think these verses are relevant in today's society, in our lives? Can these words of Scripture help us today in our lives? Can they help us every day to watch our tongues? Watch what we say to individuals. Is there ever a time when we can relax and not have to worry about what we say or how we say it? We've always got to be on the alert. Every time we speak, there is that potential for disaster. And Solomon tells us to beware. And then our third passage I'd like to look at this morning, and the lesson will be yours. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, the Lord sees everything that we do. No matter where we are or what we are doing, sometimes people think when I'm away from mom and dad, or I'm away from my spouse, or I'm away from my family, or I'm away from my brethren, no one sees what I'm doing. But God does. He sees everything. We may think we're alone. We're watching shows on TV we know we shouldn't be watching. No one knows. God does. When we're on websites on the internet that we should not be on, thinking nobody's going to find out, God does. Or we're in certain places where we shouldn't be, thinking no one will ever see us here. God sees us. We can't hide from God. Do you think this passage is relevant in our life even today? Does it have any importance to us today? Will my life be affected by knowing this scripture? If I remember this scripture and put it in a place in my mind to remember it every day, do you think it would help me to be a better person? Do you think it would be relevant in my life? Do you think it will help me to be discouraged from doing some sinful practice because I know God is watching me? Not as eager to jump into a sinful situation because God sees what's going on in my life. How will our lives be different knowing this passage? Folks, God doesn't need a GPS to find us. He knows where we are at all times. He doesn't need to see our phone bills to see who we're talking to. He not only sees who we're talking to, he knows what we're saying. Talk about technology. It's nothing compared to the power of God. Maybe we're thinking, well, he can't know everything I do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul is explaining how God will reward or punish all men depending upon their goodness or their wickedness. And notice in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul writes, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." There will be a day when God will judge our secrets. Things that we thought would be hidden from everyone. Oh, we may have hidden them from our parents, may have hidden them from our friends, from our family members, and even from our brethren, but we've not hid them from God. Will knowing this scripture have any significance in the way I live every day of my life? To think that God is watching my every move, and He's always watching. One day we will stand before Him and give account of our lives to Him. And He'll want to know, why did you do this? Why did you say this? Why did you go here at this place? Things that we thought we'd hidden from everybody else. God knows. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, tells a story of a man named Ananias and Sapphira. They thought they could hide things from men. I want us to stop and think. Do you think their lives would have changed if they would have remembered this passage of Scripture? Acts chapter 5. Let's get the story before us in verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira with his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but lied unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in." Verse 8. "And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried their husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon the many as heard these things." Do you think Ananias and Sapphira would have benefited from knowing this scripture? That God is watching your every move. They thought no one else would know, but God knew. How would things have turned out differently if they had just realized that God was watching their every move? Or if it had gone back to the other passage in Proverbs and asked advice from someone. Hey Chuck, come here. I want to tell you something. Me and my wife here, we're going to sell this piece of property and we're going to sell it for about $200 and we're going to keep $100. We're going to take $100 to the apostles and we're going to lay it at their feet and say, you know, I'm going to keep this $100 at home and we're going to tell these guys, I sold this piece of land for $100 and here's the money for you I'm going to give to you. You think that's a good idea? You think that's what I should do? Do you think their lives would have been any different if they had asked for some advice? What do you think about doing this? Do you think their lives would have turned out different? Folks, are we trying to hide things from God? It ain't going to work. God already knows. Maybe we're hiding it from mom and dad. Maybe we're hiding it from our spouse, from our family and our friends, maybe even our brethren. But God knows all about it. Will realizing this discourage us from doing things we shouldn't? I hope so. Think there will ever be a day when Satan won't try to get us to disobey God, to do something that we know we shouldn't do, to go somewhere where we have no business being? Think he'll ever plant the idea in our heads that nobody's ever going to know? No one will find out. We need the words of Scripture. These scriptures every day in our lives. Because one day we'll stand before God and have to give account of our lives to Him. And remember, He knows all of our secrets. Wisdom of God's Word will make our lives better every day of our lives. We need advice from others in order to make good decisions every day. We need to be careful what words we use, the way we say them. We need to be sure that we're using our tongues to build up and not tear down every day, every time we open our mouths. And every day, we need to know that God is watching us. Let this fact discourage us from doing any type of evil, knowing that someone is watching our every move. Now, folks, these are just three passages of scriptures that I've chosen out of a thousand of thousands of scripture in God's Word that are relevant to our life even today in the 21st century. What else do we need to learn from God's Word for our lives today? Read and look for yourselves and study it and apply it. There's something here in God's Word to help us every day of our lives. Yes, even in the 21st century, with all the technology and wisdom and creativity that's in the world today, God's Word is still relevant to our lives. Let me close this morning with a familiar passage to many of us, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul wrote to young Timothy, and he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Yes, the Scriptures are still profitable for us today, just as they were back in the first century. Don't ever think that they're outdated, that they're irrelevant to our lives. They are useful to our lives every day of our lives. They are just important to us as they were to those that they were written to thousands of years before. But you know, we've left out the most important aspect of having the Scriptures in our lives. It's because in the Bible, in God's Word, is the only place we'll learn of the plan of salvation to save our souls. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul wrote that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men. All men, all women who lived and ever will live will sin and need the salvation of their souls. Because he wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, just three chapters later, that the wages of sin is death. What we deserve is death because of our sins. And God is offering us eternal life through His Son Jesus Christ. God is offering us the salvation of our souls to enjoy an eternity with Him in heaven instead of eternity of punishment in hell. And the Scriptures tell us about this. It's the only place that will tell us about this. The Bible tells us that we need to have faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, He tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God sent Him down to earth to pay the price for our sins, to be crucified, to pay the penalty. And it's the Bible that tells us that we need to confess our faith before men. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. The Bible tells us we also need to repent of those sins, to turn our lives around and start serving God instead of serving Satan. And He commands all men everywhere in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 to repent. And the Bible tells us that we need to be baptized in water to wash those sins away. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And the Bible says we must remain faithful unto death, endure the persecutions, the trials, and the temptations, and remain true to God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Have we done this yet? You can do it today. You can do it right now if you'll come on the front's pew. But maybe there's some that already have done this, but you've not been putting God's Word daily into your lives. You're struggling with some sin that you've done in a public manner that needs to be forgiven. You too can come this morning confessing those sins, getting your life back on track again, that the hope of heaven will be yours once again. Will we all let God's Word direct our lives, direct Him every day of the life that we have to live? I hope so. And the lesson is yours. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.